Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a volunteer at a Midwestern Railroad Museum discovers that locking up for the night is the easy part. Explaining who's still working after hours is harder.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. If you want access to our bonus episodes and extra stuff, all of that fun stuff, then check it out. Apple Podcasts, our premium channel there, or patreon.com/realghoststories. Press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts so you don't miss any of what we put out for you every single day. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program, Railroad Museums.
Okay, so I'm interested in this one because whether you know or not, mm-hmm. we did an investigation at the National Railroad yep. Museum in Green Bay.
So it came to mind.
And it's the first time ever in my career of ghost hunting where we actually caught shadow figures on video.
Really?
So you've seen the laser grids, right? Where they put a bunch of like laser dots on the walls and mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a gigantic, like a big pole shed, but it's got all these train cars and locomotives and all that stuff in there. And something kept peeking out from behind one of the columns.
Oh my God.
And you specifically see that. And then, we saw it run. And our producer, director, camera guy ran after it. And actually, in the video, you see it run.
Really?
It runs into the driving part of the engine of one of the big trains.
Oh, my God.
And it's gone. Yeah, I mean, I saw that for the first time and went, holy crap.
Yeah. Wow.
So I'm wondering where this other museum is because I want to go.
Let's see here. I think they talk about it in the caller. I'll scan this to see if it says it in the description, but I'm not going to read the whole thing in here. It'll be interesting to see what this is because I remember that railroad museum. I remember going there as a kid. I always liked trains. When I was little, like before I was into Titanic, it was trains. And it was something about just how, like, the machinery, it's how big the damn things are and the power that they have. And, like, ocean liners are like that as well. And there was something always kind of spooky and, I don't know, fascinating about it. Like, I don't care about the engineering aspect, but it's just, I think just the size of these damn things is what made it spooky.
Yeah, and also, like, it's kind of like an era gone by, right? People used to really travel by train and all that kind of stuff. I remember when we were investigating one of the cabooses, mm-hmm. my dad worked for the railroad, and he would always tell his kids, well, those damn caboose guys, they don't do anything. They sit on their ass all the time.
Uh-huh.
Because that's basically what they did. They just basically were in the back of the train making sure there was no, you know, pandemonium as the train was going through town. And so he'd say they were lazy as blank. And so when we were investigating the caboose, I said that. I'm like, so my dad always, you know, worked for the railroad. He always called the caboose people lazy as blank.
Yeah.
And we got something over the spirit box and it basically said blank you.
Wow. Well, that's a pretty direct response right there.
I would think so, because you wouldn't get that on any radio station out there. So
no.
It must have been something. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's creepy. Let's hear the caller. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go and hear your story.
My name is Greg. I work at a railroad museum. I volunteer there. We're all volunteer members. I've had quite a few experiences down there, but I try to talk to other members about it, and they just kind of look at me like I'm crazy. The museum is housed on former Northern Pacific Railway property. And the old depot is a beautiful brick building. It was built in 1911. However, it's a second depot for that town. The original was a wooden depot. But in 1911, Northern Pacific Railway came through and they upgraded all of their buildings and their facilities on that particular line. So it's a beautiful brick building, sandstone accents, green wooden window frames, absolutely gorgeous. Just across the parking lot, there is a freight house, and it was built in, I believe, 1925. And originally it was where, they would store dry freight, and they had a cold storage room. And when our organization got on the property in the early 90s, they basically ripped the back half of the floor out down to the dirt in that building, converted it into an engine shop. We have concrete flooring, an inspection pit, and track. And we have a 1902 steam locomotive that sits in there that's being restored. So I guess my first story goes, I was walking out of the building one night after everybody had left. My fiance was sitting in the car getting it warm. It was kind of a cold night, and I had used the restroom, and I had walked out of it, and I was shutting lights off, making sure everything was locked. And I had walked down, there's a hallway from the front part of the building where the front door is, and the break room and the mechanical officer's office and bathroom and all that. There's a steel, kind of looks like a fire-rated door, but anyway, it's down at the end of this hall. And then you open it up, and you're on the upper platform, and there's stairs going down to the floor where the steam locomotive sits. Well, I had opened it and made sure lights were shut off and everything, and I had closed it and turned around, started walking down the hall, and I heard somebody say, "Hey, Greg," and it sounded like my fiance. So I jumped and kind of turned around because I thought she was in the car. I looked around and I said, "Yeah, what's going on?" And nobody replied. And I looked in the bathroom. I looked in the door there in the shop again, and checked the office, and I didn't see anybody. So I said, "Well, I just must be tired," and started walking up to finish locking up. And I got everything shut down, and I walked up to the front door, and the light switches for the little area up front are right next to the door. So I just turned those off and was about to step through the door, and I heard someone say, "Hey, Greg," but this time they were a little bit more adamant about trying to get my attention. I looked out to the car, and I saw Alicia sitting there, and it was in the same voice as my fiance, and she was in the car. And so by that time, I locked it up and hightailed it out of there and went home and told her about it. That was pretty much the only time I've ever felt threatened. That's one of my first stories. I guess I can tell you another one real quick if you have time. But so we have a Christmas event down there. Our museum president is usually there during that event. And I was the last one in the rail yard, and I was walking through, locking gates up, checking cars, making sure no lights were on, handbrakes were set, everything was safe. And I had my my high-vis vest on, and I had my flashlight and my keys. And so I was walking and shining lights on cars, making sure everything was okay and there's nobody in them. And, and I shined my light over towards one of our passenger coaches. And I saw somebody in bibbed overalls walking away from me. So I never saw the face. Our museum president wears bibbed overalls occasionally for special events like that, where there's going to be a lot of public, to, kind of try and get in the mood and add to the ambiance, I guess. I had seen him, and I had wanted to know how we were doing as far as numbers were, attendance and, money coming in, because we are a nonprofit, and it's our biggest event of the year that pretty much pays our bills the rest of the year and lets us restore equipment. I'll call him Frank, so that there's, no issues there. But anyway, I kind of said, "Hey, Frank, and wait up a minute, I got a question for you." And I kind of did a light jog to try and catch up with him. Now, these cars, these passenger coaches, are 85 feet long. And he was almost to the end of it, where the steps are to go up into it. And I was about midway down the car when he had turned left and grabbed the handrails and stepped up onto the car. And I said, "Hey, Frank, wait up a minute." I ran up there, and by the time I got to the steps and was climbing up one side, he was going down the other. I got to the top there, and he turned left, and he was on the ground, and he had turned left and started walking down the car. And I hopped off of there, kind of both feet landed on the ground, and I said, "Hey, Frank, wait up." And I caught myself because I looked down, and there was nobody there. The cars were kind of aligned in a way that there was a switch, and there was a line of passenger cars that particular coach was sitting on, all the way down to the switch, a little bit past it. And then the other track that intersected with that track at that switch had some freight cars on it, and they were butted up to the point where there was not a whole lot of room for somebody to squeeze through. And if it had been Frank, it wouldn't have been very possible or very quick for him to crawl underneath the car. And besides, that's something that we strictly forbid for any of our crew members to do, is crawling underneath or between cars, even if they're parked, because you never know what's going to happen. So I looked up and down, and I looked down towards the other, to the right, down towards the depot, and I didn't see anybody, and it was quite a ways. If he had been there, I would have seen him walking that direction, but he wasn't there. And so I walked up into the depot, kind of a little bit shook, and I walked up to him and I said, "Hey, were you just outside?" And he said, "No. I was in here counting our money for the day and, you know, our attendance." So I kind of walked away stunned, because I didn't quite know what to think. Anyway, those are a couple stories that I have. There's a lot more, but I hope to get to share them at some point, and I hope you guys play this.
Thoughts on all of that?
You know, we've talked about our philosophies on ghosts or energies and stuff like that. It just makes so much sense that those big, you know, engines and the box cars and the travel cars and all that kind of stuff, all the people that were in there, the motion, you know, and, mm-hmm. and these trains going across the country and all that kind of stuff. It just makes sense that if something were going to stick around, it would be that. I often wonder, my dad didn't work directly on the trains. He was actually a lineman, so he mm-hmm. was in charge of the communication and stuff. But I just wonder if my dad's energy and spirit doesn't hang around that stuff every once in a while, just because it was such a big part of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Like 35 years with the railroad, missed one day and all that time. I it's one of those jobs that people gave a lot of themselves to. So I would not be surprised if this museum was haunted.
Yeah, I would imagine it is. I always like the, I'm drawn to like train stuff too. When I'm like at an antique store, like I like the old signs, like the railroad crossing signs.
Yes,
I have some of those. And I like the old, the conductor type things, right? Is that what it's called?
The conductor type things, the lanterns?
They're not truly lanterns. They're just like glass things that the wires, I think, went to or through, and they like held them up. I don't know what they did. They had something to do with it. It wasn't a lantern.
You're talking about the insulators.
Yes, the insulators. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, my dad used to collect those. So yeah. When he passed away, I got a couple of my favorites.
Yeah.
And still have them. And yeah, I mean, those things were very artistic back in the day.
They were. Where were they located? What was the purpose? Were they on the lines, or what did they do?
So they were part of the communication when you go by a train, not anymore, but when you go by train tracks, you'd see like almost like power poles all the way down.
Yep.
That was the insulator that would carry the wire for communication all the way down the train track.
Okay. So that's how they had basically a line that would carry it all. And so it was like wireless, but to the line.
But to the line. Yes.
Wow. Okay. I always wondered how that worked and what that was. Because there was like kind of a cap that set on top of the wire, right? Is that what it did, basically?
Basically, the wire would like run along it. It was used mm-hmm. almost like a guide so that they weren't swinging in the wind.
Yeah.
That would be the guide that the wire would be on all the way down the line of the communication.
Yeah, those are neat. I like those. I've always, I feel like I see less and less of them in antique stores today, though, too.
I was out like last week or the week before, and there were a couple, and they're like $2 to $5 a piece or whatever. Yeah. But I've got some, because a lot of them are glass and they're usually like a blue color or a certain color and you can see through them. I've got some that are ceramic, but you can't see through them. They're like solid, almost like a coffee mug kind of thing.
Wow.
And they're really cool.
And they're shaped real neat. Like, it was like, there was some craftsmanship that even went into that. You know, today, like, I don't think anybody would be thinking of anything like, let's make this look nice. It's just like, however we get it to look and is how it looks. Those had some character. I like those. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our number if you want to share your real ghost stories with us. You can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get ad-free episodes, advanced episodes, all that stuff. Check it out on Apple Podcasts, on our premium channel there, or Patreon, and search Real Ghost Stories Online. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.